the screen time. Trying to pull up my, make sure I had.
Non so nosy, what a name. Oh, I know him.
Yeah, it's like the face you know instantly.
He's a big boy.
But like the voice, it didn't, I don't think it sounded like him. But then again, it's like, oh my God, you see him in so many different things.
Yeah.
And they change the way they sound. Like, oh shit, what's her name? I think she's in Yellow Jackets too. Is it Melanie Leninsky or whatever?
Yeah, she was in, yeah, yeah.
I never knew she was from Australia or New Zealand or whatever. I'm like, wait, what? We see an interview with her because she's always doing an American accent.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen her talk in a regular accent.
It's a little jarring.
Like, we're watching whatever after The Last of Us, and Jason and I are like, wait, what? She's not American? Like, we had to hurry up and look it up because it just seemed so strange.
Yeah, no, she does a good accent, real good.
I know, it's like, I don't think I've ever heard her without it.
Yeah.
Text me, I can see my phone, I can't hear it. Shut up and close the door, we're gonna start. All the way.
Talk to the dog like that?
No, Jason just got up.
Yeah, the husband.
Yeah, husband, that's okay.
Now I had the door open in case the dog got up because he was sleeping. He was on midnights, but his conductor went home early, so he was home by like 2:20.
He's on the midnight train to Georgia?
No, I think he's trying to avoid Georgia. Georgia, Tennessee. Let's avoid all those other states. Basically, you know, where all the fun derailments have been happening lately.
Yeah,
right.
Shootings, let's derailments.
Avoid those. Good Lord. Okay, so we're doing Mandalorian first, right?
Yep.
My phone on silent, not just do not disturb. I'm gonna drink a tea first. My Earl Grey again.
Hot.
Hot. Yes, it is hot. It's like burning my tongue right now. Still recovering from COVID here.
Oh yeah, how's that going?
Better. Just
yeah.
Good.
Every so often get a coughing fit.
Yeah.
Excuse me. All right, that's gonna be fun editing out. Sorry about that. All right, let's start. Mandalorian season 3. Episode 5 in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clan cast on the Fangirl Zone. I'm Sith Lord Steve.
And I'm Beskar Dave.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. And today we're talking about chapter 21 of The Mandalorian titled The Pirate. Episode 5 of season 3, written by Jon Favreau and directed by Peter Ramsey.
And as always, we have a wonderful episode recap.
Super in-depth, right?
Yes. The people of Navarro need protection from rampant pirate attacks.
Can't argue with that.
Nope.
it was pretty precise, so.
I was trying to find some hidden meaning in the title. But really not there. Not subtle.
They weren't going back and pirating music or movies, so you know, yeah. Get that straightforward.
Yeah. So let's get the initial reactions then. Go ahead, Sean. What do you have for us?
I liked it. I was a little worried at the beginning. I'm like, oh, are we not going to be doing The Mandalorian this episode? What's going on? And I'm like, oh, wait, we're moving forward. And then with that little surprise in there, I'm like, oh, okay. So I was really happy with this episode.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, too. I'm a little worried about we're not advancing Mando's story or if it's becoming the Bo-Katan show, because basically that's what happened with the Boba Fett show. It became Mandalorian show, which I was thankful for. But I don't know. I mean, what is there left for Mando to achieve? Something's got to give. Right?
That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Something's got to give. I mean, I don't know if Bo is going to make Mando her first lieutenant. Yeah.
Well, not, as soon as the fight comes up and he takes out the Darksaber, everyone's going to go, oh, to him, not to her.
Yes, right.
I don't think the armorer thought that through.
I think there's a much bigger plan in play. And how many episodes do we have left?
What was that?
Three, I think. Okay. We're only 8 episodes this season.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay. I don't know how we're going to advance it through the end of the season.
So, cliffhanger then.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, we know we're going to get Boba Fett season 2. That was finally announced. So, maybe it's going to, like, spin into there. Because she's going out to, I don't want to say collect the Mandalorians, but I also think that it's just kind of spinning and pulling in like different fibers so we can pull the Ahsoka show in. So, I think it's got a lot of spokes coming off this wheel right now.
Yeah. Some people have a problem with that. Like some of the shows are too dependent on other properties to give it that little oomph. You know, I think we fell in love with The Mandalorian because it was about The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Steve? What was your reaction?
I enjoyed it as well. I thought there was a lot of good action in it. And, we did move Bo-Katan's story along more than anybody else. But, at least Mando gave his other Mandalorians a place to stay that should be a little bit safer than where they were.
Mm.
They're like going to put down roots, which kind of threw me. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought the whole point of the whole Mandalore thing was we're going back to Mandalore.
Yeah. Our kids deserve to play in the sun. Well, their version of playing in the sun is like shooting stuff up.
Yeah.
So they're not in space Australia where everything's trying to eat them.
Yeah.
Just lava flats, it's fine. Okay, shall we get into our top 3 moments?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, we can still discuss this for a while because there's so much going on. It's like very complex. I'm just going to watch this for fun so I don't have to think about it. It's like you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So, all right, top 3 moment, the number 3 for me, and this was hard because like I automatically want to jump, be like, oh, what about, but no, hold it back. Mine would have to be, and I'm saying this, I don't want to say negatively, but Alaria Kane, because she comes on and we have, oh my gosh, what's his name? Captain Teeva, like, basically rolling his eyes because he knows.
Yeah.
This is some BS happening next to me. So it's like, all right, not everybody is totally blinded and thinking, oh, yes, they're all, doing great things.
I was hoping he'd say, don't you have some papers to shuffle?
Yeah.
It's like, really, you just pop up in here all the time and you're like, hey, I'm going to go get something to eat. You want something? Why are you? Get the hell out. I mean, the secretary already tried to stop the captain and you're like, yeah, I'm totally cool. I'm just going to go in there. No big deal. It's like,
nosy,
move along, sister.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it was just like, oh, it was. That's why, because it was just like. Ants on skin. It's like, oh, everything's crawling on me because I wanted to slap her. So that was my top 3 moment because it just kind of got me all riled up. And I'm like, all right, it's got to advance things at some point with her doing all this, right? It's not just going to be like, oh, yeah, see, there was people here and there and they knew. We got to get more, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's all in service to the return of Moff, I got to believe.
Yep.
We know he's going to be in this season, so let's go.
Yeah.
Steve, what was your number three?
Well, my number three was Paz Vizsla convinces the Mandalorians to help. Teeva then tracks down the Mandalorian convert by the big lake, thanks to his old rebel buddy, R5-D4.
That was great.
Yes. And he explains that Greef Karga is in trouble and no one is willing to help. Din brushes him off because it's important to him to always be too cool. But as soon as Teeva leaves, he starts trying to convince the other Mandalorians to help. You got to like the argument he makes that this is their chance to be heroes and find a place to live in the light rather than in a stupid cave next to a lake full of monsters. But that grumpy old Gus Paz Vizsla does a big Greef Karga is a jerk and a lot of Mandalorians died protecting Grogu on Navarro. Just so he can surprise everyone by saying that he actually agrees that they should help. What?
Yeah, yep. That totally threw me.
Yes.
Because when he first started.
That's why it's my number two. Spoiler alert.
When he was doing that, I'm like, man, he's talking crap about Grogu. Grogu needs to be like, hold up, let me lift this guy up and drop him really fast.
Yes.
Well, my number three was also a Paz Vizsla moment. Kind of shown in this episode, and it's when he comes in fighting. They've already done their parrot drop and they're fighting and they're kind of boxed in at one point, and he comes landing in and starts fighting right away, and I thought, and he's all out of bubble gum. In case you don't know what
I was gonna say, I was commenting like how, oh my god, this gun was so heavy last time when they were climbing up.
Yeah.
And this time it's like, yeah, I got the big gun now.
Just made me wonder. I wonder who's watching the kids back home. Maybe is it the whole baby vultures, whatever they are.
I was gonna say his son is probably the oldest, but now I'm like picturing the vultures. Like, yeah, I'm watching them. I'm
gonna watch come them. Back I'm gonna and the vultures are all passed out because they had a nice lunch, breakfast, right? Lunch, and dinner. Where are the kids?
Yeah.
Well, in case that nobody knows, what kicking ass and chewing gum, and he's all out of bubble gum. That came from the famous Rowdy Roddy Piper from the movie They Live in 1988. B-level classic you have to see.
I was so in love with Roddy Piper that year, or you know, back in those days. I'm like, he's so cute. I was a wee lass. But I'm like,
do you ever watch him in his wrestling days?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That was when I was into wrestling. Like I said, a wee laugh, but him and Bret Hart, I'm like, oh my god, I love them.
Yeah.
Anyway, totally off track, but They Live, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. You will always see, I want to say, every major con I've been to, there's always at least one couple dressed up like the aliens.
That's awesome.
I love it with, you know, the very generic looking clothes and everything. It's great. Anywho, all right, how about we do our number two? Now, Dave, you had already started to say your number two. Did you want to just jump in and your number two?
Yeah, I give it a spoiler that Paz was supporting Mando in this speech, which they gave us that classic twist. We've seen it before in other properties, you know, war movies, detective movies, whatever, hostage dramas. But I liked it. He's such a likable character. Even at one point, when they're discussing what they should do, or it's at the end when Bo had her helmet off and everyone's going, WTF. Right. And he looks at Mando and Mando gives him a nod and he goes, good enough for me. So, yeah. Can't wait for that Paz Vizsla spinoff show.
Maybe he'll spin off to Boba Fett. You never know.
Mm.
So my number two was actually the whole thing with the armor and Bo-Katan. Because when she had to come in, she's talking about the forge and, you know, it's like, okay, this is going to get deep. She's going to tell her something or reveal something huge, right? But when she's like, take off your helmet, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she kicking her out? What's happening? And then when with the do you trust me, I was like, who is she? I'm thinking, okay, Bo's got to know her, right? She's going to reveal herself to Bo-Katan or something.
Right.
And I had goosebumps because I'm like, what's happening? Oh my gosh, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, are we gonna see Sabine?
Oh my god. No, that's gotta be coming up though. I feel like that's the whole reason the armorer is doing this with Bo-Katan. Be like, go find our brothers and sisters. Because we know Sabine has already been cast live action. Right. So I think that's coming. I don't know if it's this one or Boba Fett or what, but we're definitely going to get Sabine.
Yep.
But when they're walking back out to the rest of the covert and you see, which I did not realize immediately, that it was like the fur on the armor's like upper body. I thought it was her hair. I was like, oh my God, did she take it out? Like, I was freaking out. Like she took off her helmet too. And she was walking with Bo-Katan and they both had their helmets off or something. So like that moment, just the whole scene, it really had me like, oh God, oh my God, this is awesome. What's happening? And then I'm like, wait a minute, she's still got her helmet on. And Bo looked so ashamed there though. Like she didn't know what to do. Like, okay, wait, I thought I was going to be part of this and with this group. And now I'm exposed again.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think it's because it questions her legitimacy. She just got into something. And now she's going to be sent out of it. And she knows. I mean, the first one was to say something was Paz Vizsla. Like, she's got her helmet off.
Right.
She walks in both worlds.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mando looked pretty shocked.
Yeah.
But he also had that kind of, okay, I'll just go with this, you know.
Yeah. Right.
In the living waters, I will flow. But anyway.
You know what? This also serves as separating those two. I mean, what are they going to fight? What about the Darksaber? We may not see that. I'm starting to think, like, what the heck?
Maybe of course, the armor wants that to happen with all of Mandalore.
Yeah.
Like, so they can fully see everything. And then, yeah, you never know.
What if she has a plan, you know?
Oh, my God. I think she has a lot of plans.
Mm.
Got a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak.
Especially if what happened at the end is actually true.
Mm. Yeah, that plays a big part.
Yes, it does.
Steve, what was your number two?
Same as yours. Bo-Katan removes her helmet and accepts the mission to go gather the Mandalorians so that they can all go back to Mandalore.
Did you have a tear in your eye?
No.
Did you think there was something else going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just as surprised as everybody else when she brings up the Mythosaur and heralding a new age of Mandalore, and you go, whoa.
She didn't mention the Mythosaur in front of all the Mandalorians, though, did she?
No, she did not.
Kept that in her pocket.
Yeah, she kept that to herself and only brought it up to Bo.
I think that's a big part of her plan, though.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so number one, it was really hard because there was a lot of moments in here that I liked. So I still have to say this because I was super excited that this happened and I wasn't even sure if it was honestly supposed to be the same person. We got Zeb. Like, live action Zeb. So, I'm like, okay. So far on screen, we've had Trapper. We had Zeb. Apparently, we've had two other things that were very fast. Or they showed them at D23. I can't remember because I seen something online. So, I'm like, okay, so they're sprinkling all these little rebel, you know, bits in. We know we got to get Ezra. Now, is Ezra coming back at the end of this or beginning of Ahsoka? Or what's happening? Because this is making me crazy. And if you haven't watched Rebels, I'd say go watch it. But on screen, Zeb, I thought looked really good because sometimes when they translate ones over from animation, they don't look great. But I thought Zeb looked great.
Yeah, it can look a little wonky, but yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same actor, too. Steve Blum.
That's even better. When we actually have, you know, the voice actors. That's why I was hoping Sabine was coming over live action, but I guess we can't get everything we want. Steve, what was your number one?
Where's Moff?
Oh, my gosh.
Tiva stumbles onto a derelict Imperial shuttle floating out in space. It turns out that it was being used as a New Republic prison transport that was carrying Moff Gideon. But all the details about it are classified on New Republic computers. Cover up.
Right? All of those... Lang.
Well, somebody knows. Those
people who were rehabilitated, and I'm saying that in air quotes.
Yeah. Teva's droid sends in a scanner, and though they don't see any sign of Gideon, there is evidence of Beskar armor residue. In case you don't get it, the guy on the Teva's radio says, "Are you saying Moff Gideon was taken by Mandalorians?"
Like, they're just going to leave a piece of their Beskar somewhere?
Right.
It could have been the Mandalorians that are out there and they have no love for Moff. Or it could have been, I saw something on the internet, you know, there's lots of stuff on the internet, in case you didn't know. And
what?
Yeah. I think it was in Star Wars Rebels, perhaps. There was a special unit of Mandalorian. They're not dark troopers. I can't, commandos, I think. And it could have been them. Or it could have been, you know, just a setup. But I had never heard of these, and they were led by a character that apparently is also coming to live action, which I never knew before, too. And I'm sorry, I can't think of this character's name, but she created a unit of Mandalorians that fought with the Imperials, I think. So that could be part of the greater Moff conspiracy. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Right, yeah, I mean, this could go a million different ways, because you know, most Mandalorians know it was Moff that destroyed their planet, so you know, they could be taking him and just...
Or he could be hiding out on the other side of Mandalore. I mean, it is a big planet.
Yes, it is.
Just throwing that out there, kind of like, why do you have to jump in from hyperspace right where the Imperial are? Why don't you come in on the other side of the planet?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Do you think we'll see the scene?
I'm hoping they'll feed him to the mythosaur.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
I think they'll still have him spitting up little pieces.
Is it mod? Yeah.
thanks.
Wow. Or well, another weird little mech.
Well, we had to feed him something. My number
What's
one.
Your number one?
Yeah, it was when the Corsair goes down. I thought it was a great battle. And at first, we were worried that they were saving all their money and he couldn't do too much of this stuff. Then they throw this at it. And one of my honorable mentions comes from the battle, too. But I loved it when the Corsair goes down in flames. They take out the last engine. It was all great dogfighting. And I love a good dogfight and a good dogfight movie. So I thought the crash was spectacular because I like how this lumbers around in air like the Hindenburg.
Yes.
A dirigible. You know, it's like big groaning air dinosaur that goes down in a cataclysmic fireball. That's way cool.
You knew something was going to happen when Carl Weathers, he gets the call, and all of a sudden in the background you see the Corsair like turning, so it's like facing him, like the front of the ship. It's like, well, that's not a good sign right there, because I happened to have to pause at that moment and it just turned, and I'm like, yeah, that's not ominous or anything.
Yeah. T-Rex.
Don't move.
Okay, let's move on to honorable mentions, Sean.
Okay, so there was so much going on in this episode. I have kind of a few. So one, Tim Meadows. I mean, oh my gosh. I just love Tim Meadows. And we just happened to finish, yes, way late to the party, by the way. Or we're midway through the second season of Space Force, which he's in that too. And he just cracks me up. Even being just this, you know, perfectly boring colonel. It's like, man, we got a lot on our plate. And there's limited stuff. I'm sure it's not a giant thing happening. It's not the rebellion. We're organized. It's like, oh, womp womp.
Right.
You totally know that. Like, that was just bad, you know, foreshadowing that you said that, basically. And just the whole fight on Navarro, because I just thought that was excellent. And then finally, regarding the fight, when you have, I'm laughing, when you had the armorer just beat the hell out of all those pirates
with a tool.
Yeah, with just that. Okay, I have my, I don't know, hammer and I don't know, pinchers. I don't know what the thing's called. Please don't hate me. But man, she's just grabbing them and whack. You're like, wow. You should be seeing blood flying. That's the one thing we don't see.
Right.
But she was letting loose. And then finally, with that fight, and you see the guy go over the edge. I'm like, didn't we see that in a couple of them? Like, at least once a season, we see somebody fall over someplace tall.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you guys taught me what it was called with the yell, and I can't remember. When they fall and you get that, ah.
Yeah.
Which I loved it. So there's probably more. I think there was a little bit of a, why is Grogu not kicking some ass in here, mm-hmm. and there? But, you know, still loved it.
Yep. My honorable mentions are, of course, the Mandalorian saved Navarro thanks to the armorer's help. And like Sean previously said, we get Zeb from Rebels. Hey, Dave, you got some honorable mentions? Oh, and sure. Carson versus Lane. That was classic.
Yeah. I was just thinking, listening to you guys. Did anyone smell some seaweed burning after that ship went down?
Yeah.
I don't know what this smells like. It's probably nasty.
Yeah. And the one pirate that was started the whole issue wanting to drink in bar just bails on.
Oh my gosh. When he peaced out, he's like, gotta go. I'm like, oh yeah, no, he didn't.
Okay, my Arnold mentions was, of course, Zeb. I was going to say Zeb. I saw somebody tease that. Who caught that cameo? I'm like, who caught the cameo? Are you kidding me? That was more obvious than anything. What the
hell?
Yeah,
how could you not?
Well, I know. The best car in the ship, the Lambda shuttle ship, like, of course, set up. I think I messaged you guys, can't win. They just have a great victory. And like, oh, this? What?
Yeah.
But, I really enjoyed Din doing his best Top Gun Maverick maneuver when he came up between the two snub fighters.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Needed some music playing, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? I do have kind of one more. When the Corsair is about to, like, fire on all of the inhabitants of Navarro when they're finally coming back. And we see just the town is in shambles. It's like, well, how are you taking over that exactly?
Right.
But then it's like, okay, and they take out the last engine, it goes down. So my husband happened to say, okay, so instead of firing on the people, it's going to just land the giant fiery ship on the people? Because nobody seems to be moving right now.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, maybe they should have showed it going down at a bigger angle or something. I mean, I don't know. Is it going to land like in the lava flats where the Mandalorians are going to be setting up?
And yeah.
Well, what's that's going on?
Thing.
Oh, okay, I'm done now. But there were so many good moments.
So what would you give it for a rating, Sean? Let's hear it.
This is tough because it's like I don't want to say 5 out of 5 because there's always like something bigger that I feel like is going to happen. Some bigger reveal, some bigger this. But I'm going to say then 4.75 because there was a lot going on and I really liked it.
Wow.
4.75 burning Corsairs.
Not burning seaweed.
Oh, that's got to smell awful. You're right. Yes. So no, I'm just going with the whole ship. Hopefully the metal doesn't smell.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Oh, God. Insert dad jokes everywhere.
Yep.
Steve?
I gave it 4 out of 5. Gideon is still out there.
And you're not Gideon.
Yeah.
He's coming.
Yeah, they should play Jaws music.
Yes. Yeah, more than likely that's how Bo's going to get the dark saber is Bob will take it from Mando and then Bo will whip his butt and say, it's mine now.
That's acceptable.
Really quick side note. Oh my gosh. The actor who plays him, Giancarlo?
Yeah.
Right. He was at a con recently and there was somebody dressed in Mando gear and had the black saber and he gave it to him for a picture. Like, and the pictures before he's just smiling and happy and then instantly into the Moff Gideon, like super serious face holding the saber. It was really awesome.
Awesome.
Nice.
It's like, and he goes, it was instantly, he just went right into character and he's like, I don't know how he can do that. That was amazing because, you know, sometimes you got to warm up, but yeah. Nope. Little Moff Gideon in there all the time. I don't know if we should be worried about that. I'm just throwing that out there too.
Oh, he's been some of the greatest villains of all time.
Oh boy,
he is such a great actor, and I'm sorry yes, I messed up his name.
All right, now don't take this the wrong way. Uh-oh. I know you guys are up in the fours, but I'm giving it a 3 out of 5, and it's 3 out of 5 Tyrion Zellens. I like those cute little guys. They're always shirtless too.
I love those guys. Oh, that was great. Come here, guys.
3 out of 5 shirtless cheering and zealots. They should go dance at a bar if they're going to hang around like that.
Right.
So, and the only reason why I give it 3 out of 5 because, you know, just being a little worried that we're drifting away from Mando and heading into the Bo-Katan show, as we, as I mentioned earlier, you know, that it just didn't advance Mando's own story, and like, you know, I scratched my head on that one, but that I did like
through your helmet.
Yeah. Well, I can only do that by the fireside all alone.
Right. Well, as always, we do have some feedback from our friend Fred from the Netherlands. I cannot wait to hear what he thought of this episode.
Hello, Steve, Dave, and Sean. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 5. I really loved that they brought Captain Carson Teva back. His first appearance was in Chapter 10, so that's 10 chapters ago. Really like it that they bring such characters back. And actually, here he has a more important role than back then. This is probably a expensive episode with all these space battles, or I should say air battles, actually. I really liked CGI here, and that for television. But we see that more and more these days, especially in the multi-million series productions. It was a little crazy in this episode that Bo-Katan was allowed to take off her helmet, because she lives in two worlds. Well, that does Din Djarin also. So, little inconsistent. And fortunately, they put in a lot of doubt in the procedure, in the sense of that she really doubted to take her helmet off when the armorer said it. I think the creed is very strict, but she is a kind of high priestess that can change the rules, obviously. A bit contradictory. I really wonder if season, perhaps 4, will be the regaining of Mandalore, or that we even will see that in this season. already looking forward to see Moff Gideon, Giancarlo Esposito as actor back. This must be coming, hopefully, next episode. Okay, that was all. Greetings. All the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Wow. Fred covered all the points we covered, too.
Yes, he did. Amazing. Totally agree. It was great that Tiva got a much bigger role in this episode than he had previously. So that was awesome to see, because he basically interacted with almost everybody except the pirates themselves.
Tiva's the one that is crying wolf. No one's listening to him.
Right.
We know better. We know.
Yes, we do. As long as Moff's out there, you can't take anything for granted. No place is safe.
Right. Yeah, I like that Tiva's back too. I like, I don't like that no one listens to him, but they've been warned. And I like how Fred picked up it. They didn't spare any expense in the CGI in this too, because I thought that was amazing too. It was no more bottle episodes. I mean, geez, they're throwing money right into the fire and it looks great. And he also mentioned Bo's helmet that we had discussed, the deal. And then he mentioned something I didn't think of about Mando living in both worlds too. But he prefers the world of the Mandalorian or the Watch. You know, and it is the way, and he'll keep his helmet on. I think Bo-Katan actually prefers to go in both worlds because she's pursuing greater glory. I mean,
right?
She got her tires pumped by the armorer, and she goes, "Yeah, I'll take my helmet off if that means I get to be leader."
Yes.
I think that might lead to Mando possibly living in both worlds, then, where we get to see more of Pedro Pascal's face.
Wow.
You're just wishful thinking there, Sean.
Yeah.
Don't burst my Pedro bubble. That's well, doing The Last of Us, so I don't think we're going to see a lot of his face on screen.
Right. Well, Fred, as always, we really appreciate your feedback and looking forward to hearing from you again.
Thanks, Fred.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 10 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes or any other platform you use for your podcast with good ratings and reviews. It helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Mandalorian podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and I hope you're enjoying our podcast. Don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can check everything out over at www.fangirlzone.com on our podcast page, where it has all of our podcasts. We have several dozen podcasts up there that you might find something else that you like. And you can check out our contacts page with all of the ways to get a hold of us, because we definitely want to hear all of your thoughts about this show. What do you think's coming? Are there too many threads they have to pull to give us the big picture? Let's find out what everyone thinks. So for this episode of the Mudhorn Clan Cast,
I'm Sith Lord Steve. It's time to retake Mandalore.
I'm Sean Fangirl S. And you know, everybody, come look at this. I'm gonna hang out with the little repair dudes that I never remember their names, but
and Zellens.
And Zellens. They're so cute.
3 out of 5 half naked and Zellens. And this is Beskar Dave, and I'm going to invite everyone over for a barbecue featuring crispy puffer pig thighs. Yum.
Crispy puffer pig thighs.
Yeah.